Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. We're back to talk about St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. We've been talking about it all week. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them on your computer or download them and put them on whatever device works for you. I encourage you to get our app, the Renewal Ministries app, which you can have on your phone, which will allow you to listen to my programs, Sister Ann's programs, watch our television programs, and have access to the many good things we have on the website that we just want to give away to you. Our newsletter, articles that we've written, you'll be able to see and read about the missions that we're doing around the world. As you're reading them and prayerfully reading them, I think you'll be really blessed and encouraged by some of the stories that are there. If the Lord puts it on your heart to join us at some point, feel free to call us at renewalministries.net to inquire more about our mission work. We're working in Eastern Europe, Africa, Asia, the Middle East, Latin America, Canada, U.S., we're kind of all over the place. So the Lord has raised up many clergy to join us, but also lots of good lay people from all walks of life, from stay-at-home moms to bankers, lawyers, whatever, everything in between, who the Lord's put his hand on, who are growing in faith and feel called to engage in the mission of the church more directly and more personally, and feel called to do it in different countries along with us. So we love it when people join us in the work. So I want to pick up where we left off yesterday. We're just finishing up chapter 1 of Colossians. And Paul's now, the heading in this section is talks about Paul's suffering and his ministry. Verse 24. I'm going to back up, actually. Reread verse 21 and following, which I read pretty quickly yesterday. I want to dive in a little bit on that. So it says, "And you," this is Paul now writing to this young community, mostly Gentile believers, said, "And you who once were estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds," so it's the old man, the flesh, the fallen nature, the willfulness, my will be done, not your will be done, seeking our own pleasure, seeking power, honor, fame, pleasure, all those kinds of things. He says, "He has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death." So Paul is saying, you were once under the dominion of those things. And as a result, you were estranged and hostile to God, and you were separated from God. But he's come to deal with it. And the only way that it could be dealt with was according to God, our Creator's order, his plan and purpose, his economy, to have his son. And how is it? He reconciled in his body. He reconciled us in his body of flesh by his death. So Jesus' death on the cross is the instrument of reconciliation, of bringing us together and uniting us to God, to justifying us, putting us in right order and right relationship with God, making us right in God's presence. That's the blood of Jesus. It was through his death that that was made possible. And I wanted to touch on this again, just to remind us, friends, this is why Jesus is the only Savior of the world. And the church does not teach that, and the scriptures does not teach that everybody, the key is for everybody just to follow their own bliss, sort of just follow their own spiritual path. And the importance is to be spiritual or to have, you know, some sort of spiritual feeling or whatever. No, God sent forth one Son. There's only one Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. St. Peter said there's only one name under heaven and earth by which we can be saved. And that's Jesus. That's why the church exists in a constant state of mission to communicate the life and the person of Jesus to people who don't know him. Now, the church, is it possible for someone who never knows Christ, never receives the gospel, for that person to be saved? The church says yes. Lumen Gentium 16 says, from the Second Vatican Council, says yes, it is possible. But it goes on to say it's very difficult, because of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Because there's things in us that we don't want to live under the rule and the dominion of Christ. We want to be our own master. There's the power of the world that's always seducing us, seeking to distract us and lead us into counterfeit lifestyles. And there's the devil himself who's trying to attack us. So it's very difficult, but it's possible. But everybody who enters heaven ultimately enters because they've responded to the light that Christ, the Logos, the Lord of all, has made present in their life, and they've said yes to it, and it's his death on the cross that makes it possible for them to enter the world. Nothing else, not their works or not their meditations, not their religious insight they got from here or there, none of the other religions of the world, though we respect them, you know, to the degree that they have some glimmer of light from God, but none of them are in themselves salvific. They're not pathways to salvation. Jesus Christ is the only one who can bring heaven to earth. Jesus Christ is the only one who took on human flesh and brought it from death to life and is exalted at the right hand of the Father. Jesus alone is the preeminent one and Lord of all. Let's jump down to verse 24. Paul's ministry and suffering said, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church." It's an interesting phrase. First, Paul says, "Now I rejoice in my suffering." That's a very common theme among the apostles. And they honor other brothers and sisters in the communities they've been shepherding who are suffering because the joy that they manifest. And that's a sign that someone's really maturing in Christ, that the sufferings and the trials of life we bear up under. We know that nothing can happen to us or happens to us without God's will and God's purpose, his permissive will or his direct will. But ultimately, we know that we're in his hands and nothing will separate us from the love of God. And we know that even suffering, we don't have to go look for it, but even suffering that comes into our life that he doesn't remove, when we ask him in a particular way that he allows us to walk in, can become redemptive. That is, Paul makes this curious statement. He says that, "And in my flesh, I complete what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body." Well, nothing in Christ's sacrifice is lacking. He made a perfect offering to the Father, right? I want to read what the commentary says about this, what is lacking. That is, the suffering that remains for believers in the trials of life. Suffering is a mission for all the faithful as a means of conforming ourselves to Christ. But suffering is a special calling for ministers of the gospel like Paul, who endure many afflictions in the effort of bringing salvation to others. These words could be misunderstood to mean that the suffering of Christ was not sufficient for redemption and that the suffering of the saints must be added to complete it. This, however, would be heretical. Christ and the church are one mystical person, and while the merits of Christ, the head, are infinite, the saints acquire merit in a limited degree. What is lacking, then, pertains to the afflictions of the entire church, to which Paul adds his own amount. So really, in essence, what Paul is saying is that we're united to Christ, we're in his body, and he allows us to encounter and experience and walk through the sufferings of this fallen world, to offer up our sufferings with him, to be united to him on the cross. And those, by virtue of being united to Jesus, have power. Not because they've got, because I do it or you do it, but because it's offered up in Christ. It's united to the person of Jesus and his body. And Jesus allows us, he dignifies us. He allows us to bring about even more fullness in the life of the church. It's great. It's amazing. He says, "For I complete what is lacking in Christ's affliction for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the divine office, which was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known." Paul, thank you for writing these letters. Thank you for making God's word fully known. And friends, may we internalize these words and we be instruments through which this word can flow and we can make it fully known in the areas in the life where God has placed us, in our families, our marriages, with our children, our extended family members, in the businesses that we're in, the friendships that we have, that we live Christ and we bring Christ present there. We're sent into these places by the King himself, where our identity is as sons of God, as disciples. He sends us, we're sent ones, and he sends us and he deploys us into particular places where he gives us responsibility to communicate his life to others. Verse 26, he says, "The mystery that was hidden for ages," that's the good news he's talking about, "in generations, but now made manifest to the saints." So the mystery of God's eternal plan, perfected in the person and coming of Jesus, is made known. Who God is, what his plan is, and in that it reveals who we are, who you are, who I am. And, you know, one of the signs that the culture has become secularized and is sliding back into a kind of paganism again is the confusion of identity. How many people don't even know who they are anymore? They don't even know, even though their body is, for example, even though a young man's body is telling him that he's a man and he decides he wants to become a woman, he's confused. but he might be confused between the choice of 40 and 50 and 60 different gender preferences. And the world saying, no, it's all fluid, it comes and goes, and there's just so much confusion that's present there. And that's the result of the light of God going dim in the human mind, in the human heart. Not because God has chosen it, but because the world has pushed God to the human horizon, dethroning the Lord. You know, he can be my helper, he can be a good spiritual guru, but he's not Lord. He's not the one in command. He's not the one in authority over my life. I am. And I'll do what I want to do, and I'll call good what I want to call good, and I'll design my life the way I want to design my life. I'm not anybody's servant. I'm a master. I'm my own master. That's the flesh. And so God has to get pushed from the horizon. And guess what? When that happens, darkness settles into the human mind and the human heart. We lose touch with the mystery that's been hidden for ages. God and his plan, his order and his authority, we've become darkened in our thinking. And we insist on that darkness because we call it freedom and our own radical independence. And it leads us to become slaves to darkness again. We're lost in the haunted wood by our own choice. And we start to lose our clarity and our sanity and our sense of purpose and direction and identity. That's the result of wandering in darkness. And the deeper we go, it's crazy, the more people claim it and pound their chests and seek all the addictive behaviors or the things that they think are going to make them happy, places where they can enthrone themselves as the center of all things. I mean, one of the reasons, you know, the powerful turn away from God is they resent having to serve. They resent having to be humble. They resent the fact that their riches and power and glory isn't the top, but that what's most important is things like humility and patience and love and kindness and gentleness and patience and mercy. This is the real gold. And all money's passing, all power is passing, it's fleeting. And really, to those who are dead in Christ, it hardly means anything. It's just another form of service. And if they have the ability to acquire, to have, they're happy to give it away exactly where the king calls them to do it because they know everything they have comes from God. But the proud say, no, it comes from me and my genius and my smarts and my, you know, I'm just smarter than the herd. That's why I'm getting what I'm getting. So Paul goes on, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. There it is, friends. That's the core of the mystery. Because Christ came and took on human flesh and united heaven and earth in his person, and he destroyed the dominion of darkness that enslaved the human race. He stripped the devil of his power. He humiliated him on a cross. He died, shed his blood for us, was raised to the right hand of the Father, and all glory belongs to him. And he sent forth his Spirit to dwell in us as in a temple. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwell in us, just like Jesus said they would in John's Gospel. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're a child of God if you're baptized into Christ. And that presence is the down payment of your future glory. It's the proof of your destiny. It's the hope, the confident expectation that you are destined, you're headed to share in the glory which belongs to Jesus Christ. And that's the most important thing in your life, hands down, nothing even close. Friends, God bless you. Have a great weekend. Walk in Christ.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Why Be a Christian? Lots of people are asking that question today, and Ralph speaks candidly of how he found in Christianity the truth. I believe this booklet will strengthen and encourage you in your own faith. For your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.